This podcast is also available as a video file, which you can watch at our website, aboundingjoy.com, or on our YouTube pages. Well, thank you for joining me in our Bible study today. We're back in Proverbs. In the previous study in Proverbs, I said I thought it might be helpful for us to consider some of the things in this book, Proverbs, that tell us what God says about fools. But we kind of ran out of time on that one, so I said, let's stop here and we'll pick it up next time. Well, this is next time. So let's do that right now. Let's take a quick look through Proverbs and just a few of the things that God says are some of the characteristics of a fool. Now, by the way, I want you to listen very carefully. I think if we're willing, we'll recognize ourselves in these things. If we're honest, we need to be honest, because we all have tendencies to act like fools from time to time. It's painful, I know, but it's true. That's why we all need to meditate on this book of Proverbs. And it's why we all need to pray that God would help us learn these principles from His Word. They're from God. I'm afraid there's a pretty strong temptation for some of us when we hear Bible studies that point to problems in people or areas where people may need to be teachable or people may need to be open to change. There's a tendency for some of us to think about others. We know other people that need these things. They need to be changed instead of thinking about ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying we should never, ever think about the problems of others, the problems others have. We really do. I think we should. I think it's one of the reasons the church exists is so we can help each other see our blind spots. So we need to help each other. We need to see problems in other people. But we must also never, ever forget to examine our own lives in the process, too. It's not just for others that we hear God's word. It's for us. Now, notice what he says here in verse 7. In a way, it's a foundation for what he reveals to us in the rest of the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So right here in verse 7, he gives us one of the characteristics of a fool. He does not have a teachable spirit. The fascinating thing about this is that there are times when we ourselves do not have a teachable spirit. We need to be honest. And the reason why, at least sometimes, the reason why we don't have a teachable spirit is because we think that if we acknowledge our ignorance, we'll look like a fool. Isn't that ironic? That's our pride, by the way. But God says, you know what? It's really when you refuse to acknowledge your ignorance, because we may think you're avoiding looking like a fool, that we really are looking like a fool. We're being a fool when we act like that. So when we may think that we're doing our best not to look like a fool by not pretending to know something we don't know, or by not recognizing our ignorance, it may be at those very times when we're actually being the most foolish. Wow, makes you think. Listen, guys, there are people that come to church Sunday after Sunday, Bible study, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they sit with their arms folded in front of them, maybe literally, but certainly figuratively, just almost daring somebody to teach them something, determined they're not going to be changed. God says, you're a fool if you do that. He repeats this idea, by the way, down in verse 22. Fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 1:22. So, having given us that foundational warning about the roots of foolishness, let's quickly walk through a few more proverbs that will help us identify foolishness when we stumble across it. Maybe we're guilty of it. And we may recognize some of these things in ourselves, and we may recognize some of these things in others. But let's listen to what God has to say here. In chapter 10, verse 18, we read this. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Whoever utters slander is a fool. So he's saying running people down, Saying bad things about them to other people is the mark of a fool. Jesus tells us how to deal with that kind of thing. When we see something wrong with somebody else, Jesus said, go talk to him. If he won't listen, you might need to take two or three others with you. That's all in Matthew chapter 18. You can go read about it. Don't resort to slander. You see, that's what a fool does. There's another one, Proverbs 10:23. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. But wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. So laughing at sin, trivializing sin, minimizing sin, acting like sin is just a big joke. God says that's a mark of a fool. Now, stay with me here. Many movie and television productions are designed to make us laugh at sin. And listen, I think it really is true that there are times when sin, if we're honest, gets us into really hilariously embarrassing situations. It can be really funny. And the television and the movie industries love to highlight those situations. People laugh. People come back for more. People pay money to see it. Many times we laugh because we can identify with it, can't we? I mean, our own sins have gotten us into similar situations. Maybe the things on TV and movies are exaggerated a little bit, but we can identify. We've been there. And often it's pretty funny. Our foolish pride can lead us to some laughable outcomes, guys. It really can. And you know what? That can actually help us deal with our foolish pride if we'll let it. So let's not miss God's balance here. Sometimes laughing at sin is actually a way to realize the foolishness of sin and pride especially, and may actually help us to avoid it. I'm not saying it's wrong to laugh at it. And the truth is, there are times when God himself laughs at it, at the foolishness of sinful pride. You remember the second psalm? Look at the second psalm. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let's burst their bonds apart and let's cast away their cords from us. Look at verse 4. He, that's talking about God, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. It's like God looks down at the kings of the earth and kind of snickers at them. And he says, look at what those little fools are trying to do, little fools. Now, having said that, we know, and I want to underline this too, we don't want to lose our balance here, ultimately sin is no joke any more than cancer is a joke or some other deadly disease is a joke. So to laugh at the absurdity of our sins is one thing, but to sin and then laugh it off as if sin is really no big deal, God says that's what a fool does. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Now, of course, that's very close to the idea of just keeping a teachable spirit. But when we don't value the need for counsel, we're acting like fools. We all need good counsel. We all need good advice. And again, we can feel like we're acting foolish when we ask for counsel. Isn't it strange how the devil can twist that around in our brain, in our brains, in our minds? It's kind of like a blow to our pride, though. Ask for directions? Me? I don't need directions. I know where I'm going. Or, hey, I've got a college education. I know what I'm doing. I don't need any advice. God says that's really foolish. You're acting like a fool when you act that way. We don't ask for counsel. So we're not being foolish if we ask for counsel, like some people think they're being. We're foolish if we don't ask for counsel. Proverbs 12:16. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Do we always control our temper? Do we have a short fuse? Do we explode easily? Are we vexed easily? God says, when you do that, you're acting like a fool. And we can't excuse it with that little weak comment, well, it's just the way I am. I've heard so many people say that. I've heard so many people who have an anger problem, they try to excuse it by saying, well, it's just the way I'm wired. Baloney. That's foolishness. It's sin. God teaches us here in Proverbs how to conquer an anger problem, all the way through Proverbs, and we're fools if we don't take him seriously. Proverbs 13:19, to turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. To turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. Sometimes we may be a little bit slow to turn from evil because it seems too difficult for us. We're kind of lazy. We're kind of undisciplined. We have some bad habits, and it just seems like it's too much trouble to turn away from it. We're acting like fools. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. So we get the idea here that a fool can work both ways. You know, you can be deceiving and you can also be deceived, both of which can be the mark of a fool. Sometimes it's very tempting for some of us to be deceptive. We leave people with false impressions because we think the truth may be too painful for us or maybe for them. So we just deceive them, maybe lie to them. The other side of that coin, though, is when we let ourselves be deceived because it seems like too much trouble to study out the truth, too much trouble to check things out, too much trouble to try to figure out how to be discerning. God says that to go on deceiving or to go on being deceived, both are foolishness. Proverbs 14:16, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. And you can begin to see here how some of these things start meshing together here. You know, you start being a fool by just choosing not to be teachable. And of course, that leads to refusing or at least being reluctant to seek out or listen to good counsel from others. And that leads to where we are now, plunging ahead recklessly. And all too often, that leads to seriously disastrous consequences. God says we're acting like fools when we do that. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. So he's saying the product of some people's speech is knowledge and wisdom. They even make it pleasant to hear. But sometimes we can be tempted to pour out words. We really ought to just keep silent. There are times every one of us have to deal with these times. We're tempted to speak without really knowing what we're talking about. God says that's foolishness. There's a time for us just to shut our mouths and listen. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Once again, we hear this teachability factor just keeps coming back into the Proverbs over and over. But this verse reminds us that we need to pay attention to how we respond to criticism. We can fall into the trap of thinking that it's a mark of weakness to listen to criticism. That's pride. But we can learn a great deal from God by paying attention to criticism that other people have for us. God can use other people. Listen, that's true. And maybe especially true when the criticism is from somebody who doesn't even like us. We better be wise. When faced with criticism, we can have this knee-jerk reaction just to defend ourselves and to attack that person who's criticizing us. How dare he say that to me? He has his faults too. We're being fools when we do that. Proverbs 18, verse 2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Listening does not come easily for most of us. Instead of listening closely and working to understand something that we don't really yet understand, it's so tempting for many of us just to jump to conclusions. And sometimes we just interrupt so we can say what we want to say. Rudeness, in my opinion, is kind of a sign of our times. We're very rude people. Sometimes somebody else may be saying something really worth listening to. We need to pay attention and just be patient and listen. And instead we say, hey, I don't mean to interrupt, which is a lie because it's exactly what we mean to do. We're interrupting. It's what we're doing. Why would we say I don't mean to interrupt when we're in the middle of interrupting? But I just wanted to say, and off we go. God says when we do that, were fools. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Sometimes we can spout off our thoughts with little or no awareness that our words might be affecting other people. We're not thinking. We're not looking at their response, at their reaction, at their facial expressions. We're making people angrier and angrier, maybe at us, maybe at somebody else. And we're either oblivious or we just don't care. God says that's how a fool talks. He doesn't pay attention to the effect his words might be having on other people. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it's an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Some people just love to engage in verbal fights. They're combative. They deliberately say things that are designed to stir people up. And some of us, if someone cuts us down, man, we're ready to cut right back. That's, by the way, in contrast to Jesus, who Peter wrote when he was reviled, he didn't revile back again. Proverbs 26:6, whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. He's telling us here that fools are unreliable people. Are we unreliable? Have we ever promised something? Maybe explicitly, maybe just implicitly, but we didn't follow through. We let somebody down. They were counting on us. We didn't come through. Or we can come up with all kinds of excuses and rationalizations and reasons. Something came up. We said, oh, well, maybe another time, maybe later. God says that's the way of a fool. Proverbs 26:11, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. So once again, there's that old, ugly, unteachable spirit rearing up its head again. When we mess up, and we will, and we do, God intends for us to learn from that experience so we won't just foolishly keep repeating it. But sometimes there's a tendency because of our weaknesses to just let those awful, sinful habits just kind of take hold of us, and we stubbornly refuse to learn from our mistakes because it's easier just to kind of repeat them. Next thing you know, there we are again doing the same bad thing all over again. God says that's the way a fool behaves. Well, there are more verses that could help us identify some of the specific examples of what fools are like and what they do and help us to identify them and identify those things in ourselves. That may be enough for right now. But listen, if we're honest, most of us have been convicted, I think, by most of these verses, at least by some of them. The question is, am I going to learn from them? And that's why we need to spend prayerful time in Proverbs. We study these things. We look at these things. We meditate on these things. We memorize these things. We ask God to help us recognize these things in ourselves. Now, I'm not quite done, though. Before we stop today, let's look briefly at just a few more of the verses here in chapter 1. So in verse 9, God says, if instead of refusing to learn from godly teaching, which is what a fool does, we will learn from wise instruction. He says, let me tell you something good here about yourself. If you're just willing to listen, he said in verse 9, this will be like a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. What's God saying? He's saying, hey, you know what? Wisdom is going to make you more attractive. Wisdom is going to look good on you. So get it. Get it. Get some wisdom. And then in verses 10 through 19, God warns us about the danger of greed and of a desire to fit in with the crowd. So I want to look at those verses real quickly. Let's just read through them together here. My son, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let's lie in wait for blood. Let's ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let's swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We'll all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain a net is spread in the sight of any bird. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. In other words, he's saying a bird may not have much of a brain, but even a bird brain has enough sense to avoid a net that's spread out there in plain sight. These fools don't even have that much sense, he says. verse 19 says, such are the ways of everyone who's greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So he's teaching us in these verses that greed, combined with the desire to fit in with and be a part of the wrong crowd, watch out. He says that's led to many premature deaths and ruined lives. Now listen, guys, please pay attention to this. There's a huge danger for all of us, especially those of us who are wired in such a way that we really, really want to please people. That's a lot of us. We want to be accepted. We want to be liked. We want to be appreciated. We want to be affirmed. And that desire carries with it the danger to want to just kind of go along with the crowd when the crowd may be going in a very, very bad direction. That's very often the case. We're all susceptible to this. One of the great attributes that every single Christian needs to pray for and work to develop is the willingness and ability to stand alone when it's necessary, to stand alone for what's right, what we know to be right based on God's word. We need to pray for that courage, the courage to resist that herd mentality. And that's especially true for those of us who feel kind of driven within to try to make other people happy. Some of us are just wired that way. Sometimes, listen guys, take me seriously here. Sometimes people just don't want to hear the truth. They really don't. Many, many people are not really very teachable. It's a pride issue for them. But when you try to share the truth with them, no matter how gently you try, they'll resist it. And if you share the truth with them, they may resent you. They may attack you. They may not like you. They may reject you. They may act as if you've hurt them terribly just because you've told them the truth. They may try to point an accusing finger back at you and say, oh yeah, well, how about you? The temptation to go with the flow, to try to keep everybody happy, can be overwhelming to some of us. Do you remember what Paul wrote to the Galatians? We need to remember this. Paul said, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Can't do both sometimes. James wrote this in James chapter 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We better think about that. We need to learn how to stand alone. Remember when they came to arrest Jesus the night before his crucifixion? Peter tells us through Mark chapter 14, they all left him and fled. So Jesus set a pattern for us here. There will be times when we need to be prepared to stand alone. He gave us an example. So did the Apostle Paul, by the way, in his very last letter, near the very end of his life, just before he was beheaded, he wrote, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me. All deserted me. May not be charged against them. But, he said, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. So God's very clear here. There will be times, as far as people are concerned, when we need to be prepared to stand alone. Of course, he promises he's never going to leave us, even if nobody else stands with us. And there'll be times when that desire to please others can cause some major problems. So why don't we stop here and let's pray for his grace to recognize those times right now. Okay, pray with me. Father, thank you so much for giving us the book of Proverbs. And Lord, forgive us for the many, many times when we have ignored this book. When we've let it sit on our shelves or let it be that right there in our phones, carrying it around in our pockets or our purses, and we never bother to look at it. Lord, you've given us incredible truth here, incredible words for life. And Lord, I pray that we will take you seriously. We don't want to be fools, Lord. And sometimes because we're not paying attention to you, in the very act of trying not to be a fool, we become fools. Lord, you know us. So many times we are so foolish. So Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you. Help us to be teachable, to listen to what you have to say, sometimes through your word, sometimes your Holy Spirit just nudging in our hearts and reminding us that we need to change something. Sometimes through the criticism of others, even our enemies. Lord, we need to be teachable. And we pray you would tear down this pride, this foolish pride that so easily comes into us. And Lord, it's so hard for us to recognize, and we need our brothers and sisters sometimes to help us see it. But Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. We'll rename it. We'll call it all kinds of things. But Lord, help us to see what you see. Help us to see these blind spots. Help us to pay attention to your word, because we know through your word you will show us our blind spots if we'll just listen to you. So please, Lord, help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to be wise. And we pray that the wisdom you give us will continually give you glory and credit and praise for. We know as soon as we start taking credit for ourselves, we become fools again, full of pride. But Lord, all of it belongs to you, all the credit, all the glory, all the praise. If whatever good comes through us, whatever wisdom comes through us, we know it's coming from you. But would you please use us to help others find your truth and your wisdom, so they too can become more like Jesus and experience the joy and the peace and the purposeful living that you intend for us to have until you call us home. Get glory through us, Lord, today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.